Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to talk about how we talk about the Cavs and sort of, I guess, our approaches and what we kind of think makes good basketball discussion slash basketball journalism. But Evan, why don't you tell everyone about the title sponsor of today's show?
Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out at RockAuto.com.
And let's get into it.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
Cleveland! This is for you!
All right, Evan, so I would say this. I pitched you this episode idea, and here's what I mean when I talk about how we talk about the Cavs and how I think some of this stuff gets a little broken. I'm guilty of it. I think all of us kind of make mistakes sometimes. It is what it is.
In the words of Miley Cyrus, everybody makes mistakes, and everybody has those days, Chris. It's okay.
Look, if there's ever an example, like, she went from doing, like, her really bad face to, like, kind of rebounding a little bit, you know?
Listen, I agree, and,
I will never forgive her in the Michael Jordan, like, Jordan's legacy is tarnished in my mind because of, like, the Jordan, like, jersey thing she wore in that video with the Michael Made It song. Mm. Where she's like, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but my point is she went through that weird phase where her heart was broken, but it produced Wrecking Ball, which is without a doubt in my mind one of my favorite songs ever. I think Mindy Kaling said it, like, it's a song that you can work out to and cry to, so it's a jam. So,
did you say Mindy Kaling?
I probably butchered it. She's the one who dated Ryan in The Office. She played Kelly Kapoor.
I know. I'm just roasting you for saying Kaling because I've only heard Kaling.
Chris, we butcher so many names on this show, and you've let
it's amazing.
It slide for so long.
You were not hosting with me yet, but I got like someone sent me like a Twitter video because I wasn't pronouncing Jiddy Osmond right, and anyway, it was just
how
like
are you
okay,
pronouncing
I.
It?
I Was it like I don't even know.
I was saying Seti for the longest time, and then like
yeah.
Chetty.
It was because of that first Jedi thing. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's like cheddar cheese or something like that. I don't know. Shout out to Jetty. If you're listening wherever you are while you're traveling abroad.
Currently, I believe back in Turkey. He's left the country. I know that, but his hair's grown out. It's got like a really nice like flow going on.
I respect it.
Respect it.
If you happen to be listening, Jetty, let us know. We'd love to have you on. You're the most wholesome Cavalier.
Yeah, 100%. So when I talk about this, I get like, just to make sure I'm not missing anything, especially just if I have like a busy day or whatever, I get these like Google alerts that kind of like will pull in like the top Google results for the day for the Cavs. And I find that a lot of the headlines and stuff that's on there, and I'm not going to name writers, sites, whatever, are like the Cavs have to do this. Player X has to improve this specific skill. And it's a lot of like what the great New York Times war correspondent C.G. Chivers calls like prescribing as a writer. Like he said, like there's kind of like two ways you can approach it, and it's like prescribing or describing. I think I definitely have done this. I think it's all you will do it from time to time. There are obvious times where it makes sense to do it. But I think something I'm going to try and be more conscious of doing and something I really look for in basketball journalism is trying to do describing and kind of like understanding a problem and explaining what that problem is or a trend or whatever that is versus like trying to prescribe solutions or things teams should do. And I understand why that ladder gets done and I understand they're fun to click on or whatever. I just think like for all the things we don't always know, especially when you're not someone with access to like decision makers and players at a high level and whatever, I find that like a lot of the like I don't have a lot of interest in like prescribing solutions for teams. I think there are obviously times to do it and times where we're going to offer takes in that kind of vein. But I think I think for us describing stuff, and I think for me, I just find like my comfort level and my ability to actually give people good insight is probably more describing than it is prescribing. And I just find like that divide more, for some reason, that is just seared into my brain when I read stuff a lot now.
No, I feel the same way. I do get, I'm trying to like, how do I address this? Because I do a little bit of both sometimes. Like,
I think in our specific roles, we ultimately are going to do it a lot because we're podcasting a lot. And we're blogging. We're not like, we're doing a certain kind of writing that I think lends itself more to prescribing than it would some other kinds of reporting and writing.
Yeah. But at the same time, there's no one really in the Cavs sphere that's doing that kind of writing, in my opinion. Like, no offense to the people who cover this team on a day-to-day basis, if you happen to be listening, but as friend of the power, Carter, I really butchered that one. Jeez. Like, I butchered Mindy's name a minute ago. As friend of the pod, Carter Rodriguez would say, there's not really anyone who's providing, like, a lot of in-depth coverage. And, like, yeah, sometimes it kind of hurts when I hear him say that. But he's also right. Like, for at least for those listening, Chris and I's access is only go so far with the Cavs. Like, we are at our apex, I guess you want to say that, in terms of, like, we're able to get exposure with players, with key personnel in terms of like communications or business or the front office or the coaching staff, whatever. We're there for most of it, but granted, like, we're providing more coverage like on a day-to-day basis of just like things like that. But I guess just to get back to what you were saying before, is I'm a little bit guilty of both, where I'll have people who maybe aren't as, who say they're Cavs fans, but they're a lot more casual about things. And I think it's just the fact that a lot of people who know me personally and people who I was friends with before I started covering this team a lot more closely, like, no, I love this team. I really do. I love them and I hate them a lot. And when I first introduced myself to the Cavs, actually, like, I told them, like, no, I was a fan first. I think a lot of the writers in this room would say they were a fan of this team first, and I think that's what makes it so much fun covering that, and, like, that's why I'm so genuinely passionate about it. But so I do a little bit of both, where, like, I subscribe and I prescribe things where, like, I give my opinion on what the Cavs should do in certain instances, but I'm not really going to break down the nitty-gritty, because clearly the Cavs have a vision of what they're trying to do, and, like, you can kind of read the tea leaves and figure out what they're trying to do, like, their draft strategy. Like, it's not that hard to figure out. Like, they target guys that are high-caliber, high-quality guys who are more or less workaholics. Like, Colin Sexton is a good embodiment of this, but, like, they're trying to assemble, like, a good locker room of good culture dudes. Like, that's just a baseline prerequisite for what the Cavs are trying to do, like, in terms of drafting pet players. But, like, if you ask me for, like, what the hell they're trying to do in, like, free agency or, like, contract extensions and things like that, with, like, the Kevin Love extension or acquiring Andre Drummond, or just kind of, like, some of these moves, like, some of them make sense in the fact that they're a rebuilding squad. They're just bringing on contracts so they can flip them down the line just to require more assets and just keep doing the song and dance until eventually you're a playoff team again. Like, yeah, that's obvious, but, like, some of that stuff, I'm like, I don't really feel comfortable really giving my opinion on that. So, yeah, I'm a little guilty of both, but, like, it's just weird. Like, but at the same time, like, I don't know who I can really, like, point my fingers at and say, like, that's the person you need to be paying attention to if you want an opinion on how this team is being built or how it's being run or being constructed. And I can't really say that, and I think that's just a symptom of having your franchise's legacy entirely tied to LeBron James at this point, where when LeBron's gone, the Cavs' relevancy factor is almost flatlined. Like, they'll be a fun, interesting team for people who are, like, diehard basketball fans who like what they're assembling. Like, a lot of people on Twitter, at least, you know, that's a great way to gauge your basketball opinions. I get that, but they're excited with what the Cavs are trying to do. But at the same time, like, I still can't say, like, they know that's just, like, the symptom of having LeBron be the central figure of your team. And, like, the Cavs really aren't relevant right now, so I get why, like, the coverage isn't as intense. But, yeah, no, there's not really a guy I can, like, point to.
I would just say this. I think there are beat reporters who do really great work on bad teams. I think of Rick Bonnell, who worked for the Charlotte River. He's a regular in Locked On Hornets, talking about them, what's going on in Charlotte. Like, that's a guy who, like, covers the team in a way that is very descriptive, even though they're bad and often kind of irrelevant. He's a guy that you know, like, I feel like when I read people in the media, the three people that kind of have the pulpits that are based in Cleveland, covering Cleveland things primarily, that kind of have the pulpit to break down some of these things, I think it's a lot of prescription as opposed to description, and I think some of that's I think some of that is on the Cavs' part.
Yeah,
like they, when you get a description, they're like, to their credit, it's not how I like think is the most productive way to like do your communications, but their strategy is like, we're gonna have our message kind of out there and kind of let that shape things as much as we can. They're very successful at that.
Yes.
And they're very closed off in a lot of ways. I mean, there are other organizations that have much more high caliber players where like you can get guys for much longer amounts of time, and the Cavs are just kind of a more guarded organization in that sense. And I think that is by choice, and I do think that impacts kind of some of the stuff you're able to read, and that leads to some other options. And I do think, like, I will just say, I think part of the natural sports fandom is like, you want prescriptions for why your team sucks or whatever. Like, I do think that is baked into what we're sort of asking for as sports fans. So it's not like all, like, at some point we are like sort of serving a product to people.
And speaking of serving products, Chris, and things that suck, how's your car doing? I mean, I know it's the summer months. Like, is the AC doing okay? Is did your oil change? Like, everything good to go? I know we're not really driving much of the pandemic, but just want to make sure.
You know, looking at some ways to kind of maybe get it moving a little better. And, you know, I drive a nice Mazda 3, almost close to paying it off. I'm in a position where, like, I'm not going to have to make a car payment, which I can't wait for.
Good for you.
And I'm going to want to keep it. Yeah, can't wait to keep that thing running.
Yeah, no, one of the best places to actually keep your Mazda 3 up and running, and, you know, running for God knows how long. I don't know what the mileage is on it, so I can't really get too nitty-gritty with you on it, but use rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. Rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Or your Mazda 3, Chris. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we at Locked On Cavs sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
I also want to let you guys know about a campaign the Locked On Podcast Network is running right now. The Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your own donation along with us, please visit lockedonpodcast.com/BlackLivesMatter. All right, come back. We're going to talk about some of the reporters and stuff that we really do like. Let's talk a little positively about some people right after this. Evan, I don't want to hit some of the obvious ones here because, like, Zach Lowe was great. I think if you go read Zach Lowe's writing, and I was actually doing that today because I was trying to get, like, a feel for why I think he's so good and making sure, like, he is the person that toes the line of, like, describing without like trying to prescribe like solutions for what they're doing, like, but he's incredibly descriptive in his reporting and analysis of the game. But to avoid some of like the bigger name people, I want to just, are there people that when you read them or listen to them, if they're a podcast or something, that you're like, this is someone who I find is doing really great work and should get some more attention
In the grand scheme of things, or just in terms of Cavs coverage, because Zach Lowe's...
Well, and let's do everything. I think our Cavs window is certainly kind of small. If there is someone in the Cavs sphere that we should be talking about, let's do it. But is there anyone just in general NBA writing that we could point
people... In the Cavs sphere, shout out the friend of the pod, and, you know, just 10 out of 10, good guy, Spencer Davies. Again, one of the hardest working people I've ever met in terms of Cavs coverage, and I feel like, you know, just doesn't get enough appreciation from a lot... like. Gets appreciation from us, gets appreciation from, like, our friends within our circle of Cavs, people who cover the Cavs on a day-to-day basis. But, like, Spin works his tail off and, like, is so dedicated to his craft and works so hard in covering this team. Like, definitely, Spencer's one of the good ones. And one day when a bigger publication, or God willing, if, like, he becomes the next guy who covers the Cavs, like, on a close day-to-day basis, he's going to be one of the good ones. He's like definitely someone I'd give a huge shout out to. It'll always, more often than not, when I text Spencer for like help or tips on stuff, I'm like, just dude, keep up the good work. Like,
ghosted us for 2 days though. Just saying. The fuck, Spencer. The fuck,
Spencer. You're welcome to come on and defend your Jeopardy crown at any time though, champ. He's always good. Just on a national scale, I always try to look out for, I don't want to say smaller because it feels like such a dick thing to say, but guys who maybe just aren't getting enough exposure, and again, they're like, they're friends of the pod. Like, Chris, I don't know if you're subscribed to Ty Windisch on Patreon, but I follow Ty on Patreon, and I think it's $1 a month, and he, like, every other day sends, like, massive article-length analysis of just like random occurrences in the NBA and like his thoughts of it, and like he gives just like clear, concise details on everything, just kind of gives his opinion on it and just moves on with it. And like, it's a nice newsletter is what I've told him. Like, Ty, it's a nice newsletter. Like, if I'm not keeping up with the NBA news, like, it's a great way to stay informed. And like, you know, it's just a little bit of a personal spiel. And like, Ty knows the CBA like the back of his hand, which is super helpful for me because I cover the business of sports for the Cavs, but I will admit I'm not the most in depth with the CBA at times, and Ty's usually my go-to guy for that. But no, there's good people covering the NBA as a whole, but I always just kind of look out for maybe people who aren't like verified on Twitter. And I'm not trying to be like Scout with Brian here, I have some crusade against blue check marks or some shit like that. Just an aside, I don't care if he's listening, he can fuck himself. We were talking about cancel, like NBA, a certain prominent NBA and sports figure getting canceled. I'm still dumbstruck that he has not had his platform taken away from him from just all the egregious stuff that he's done on Twitter.
Well, he had the Deadspin thing, which was in itself pretty remarkable.
I guess so. I don't know. Do you have any other recommendations? I mean, I know Zach yes. Lowe is always like the big one, and like
Zach Lowe is like the standard.
Zach Lowe's the standard. And
if you weren't, like, if you didn't know that, though, I guess, like, I just, like, yeah, listen, I wonder how much you, like, read.
Listen to,
you know
what I mean? Like, check out Zach Lowe if you can. Like, the Lowe post is a lot of fun. Zach Lowe's the kind of dude where he could talk about a font change on an NBA court from one season to the next, and it'd be, like, 3 or 4 paragraphs long, but it's, like, the most informative 3 or 4 paragraphs yeah. you'll ever read, and you're like, wow, I learned a lot in that small window yes, of a story.
Yes, yes. So I'll give you a couple. Chris Herring is the obvious one to me because that guy, number one, he is like the nicest human being I've ever met in media. Like, I've met a lot of people in media who are kind of like assholes. Chris Herring is just like a genuine good human being. Mm-hmm. Big fan of Chris Herring at 538. Uses data in a way that I think is like incredibly relatable if you're not like a numbers nerd. So he's great. Can't wait to read his book about the 90s Knicks. Cannot wait. Number two, I would say Caitlin Cooper from Indie Cornrows. She does some of the best X's and O's analysis that you can find in the blogosphere. She's great. Go follow her on Twitter, CT_Cooper, if you're using Twitter, but read her stuff at Indie Cornrows. She is just as sharp and detailed and just like on point about what she's writing about as anyone that I think you could really go read right now and doing that kind of work. I'll say Adam Mata's the host of Denver's used to run Denver Stiffs, the Nuggets blog, and now works for DVNR as their VP of content and hosts Locked on Nuggets. And Adam's just utterly amazing. Uses his background as a basketball person and as a guy who played basketball at a high level in a way that I think is just very relatable and kind of explains things in a really good way. And then lastly, I'll say I think perpetually the most underrated NBA writer is Rob Mahoney, who's now at The Ringer, was at SI for a long time. The guy is just like everything he writes just has this very readable, calm sort of tone. I can't remember the name of the podcast, but he did a podcast at, I'm going to look it up here. When he was at SI, that is one of the best things I have ever really listened to. And he's just perpetually just like a must read. If he writes something, I want to read it. And those would be kind of the four that popped to me. I'm trying to think of what this was called. I will find out what this is called and I'll have Evan tweet it, but he had a really, really good podcast that is among the most inventive NBA podcasts I've ever listened to.
No, you were definitely more prepared. Like, I get that. Like, you just are.
I think about things more than I act on them, which is like a personal, major personal flaw in me, because I complain and talk a lot of shit, and I'm trying not to do that. I guess when I say talk shit, it's just about like thinking that I could do some jobs better than people.
I'm smiling when you're saying this, and I'll explain why in a second.
This is just like the arrogant ego part of me that I would like to just punch in the face and have dead. But
whoa.
That I don't love the. I want to kill the ego is like kind of in that sense.
We should start microdosing. Our sponsors are taking mushrooms. Microdosing and we'll experience ego death.
Well, there is a company out there from another podcast I was listening to that makes like mushroom based coffee and protein powder now. So if mushroom companies want to sponsor us, like, let's go. But I this is just something like I think about a lot, and as I'm kind of trying to figure out what I want to do, I'm in my late 20s now, Evan. I need to figure out what I actually like want to do, yeah. And that's kind of something that's just on my mind.
I get that. And what I was smiling about and thinking about is, remember when we first got to know each other? Like, for those of you who don't know, Chris and I really became a lot closer after we started doing this show together and like working together on Fear the Sword, and just by happenstance, the Cavs started seating us next to each other at games and everything. So we just got to know each other just from shooting the shit and learning our interests and everything like that, mutual interests and everything like that. But when I first met Chris, I guess this is my origin story. We'll say that. I've always been kind of like the latest to the party in terms of like quote unquote Cavs Twitter stuff. But like people like Chris, people like Carter, people like Justin, people like Nam, people like Tom Valentino, and like people from like all over who like cover this team during their heyday. Like I genuinely looked up to, and like I loved reading all your guys' content, and like I always looked forward to like just seeing like the debates and discourse and everything else that's been going on. And like it's just like, you know, I was a little starstruck at first to say that I'm like, oh wow, this is like Chris Manning, this is Justin Rowan, these are like people like I interact with on a daily basis now that like I consider friends. And I do remember when I met you, you jokingly told me, because like I was like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed still about the Cavs, and you're like, yeah, that's gonna
oh, I know what this
you're is. Like, that's gonna change quickly. I'm like, what do you mean? You're like, he's like, you're gonna get jaded so fast. And I didn't get it at the time. I'm like, what is he talking about? Like, this is great. Like, I love every second of this. After a full season and a half of covering this team, Chris, I fully understand what you mean by being jaded by this entire experience. And yeah, no, I'm kind of figuring out what I want to do next. Like, we're both in our late 20s. I have a lot of gray in my beard at this point. I got to start thinking about settling down at some point in my life and moving forward to this next chapter. And I guess I'm more so worried now. Like, what's going to happen? Like, I guess this is a good way to put it. Like, Justin and Zavak both are gone at Fear the Sword. Like, they'll make appearances every now and then to write, like, columns and feature pieces of like something they're passionate about, like, but they're not there on a day-to-day basis anymore. And like, they were both, in my opinion at least, like staples of like Cavs coverage, and they're kind of just moving on and like pursuing their own passions, or like Dave's starting his family and like still giving his commentary like on the Browns and everything else, like just through the medium of Twitter. But like, what's gonna happen when we move on? Like, I don't know what's gonna happen next. Like, I mean, like, we still have like the Fedors and the Russos and people like The Athletic in general covering this team. Like, that's top tier content. But like, in terms of like the blogosphere, like, I don't know what's gonna happen next.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll, you know, get to a position where things kind of work out that way, or like, I don't know. Well, maybe
mortality we'll... here, like, getting old.
Yeah. Just staring at the end of the world. But Evan, you know what could help us stave off that feeling of dread? You know what really could help us do that?
The sweet, delicious protein of Built Bars.
Oh, yeah. It's Built Bar. Built Bar, as you surely know by now, is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bars come in a bunch of different great flavors, including peanut butter brownie. They're retiring some now, so you want to go check those out. You should hop on that and try to check out some of the ones before they go away. But again, they come in 16 amazing flavors, covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they're great for the health-conscious guy. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. For example, the flavor profile of peanut butter brownie, one of the absolute best flavors, is 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of net carbs. Mint brownie, 15 grams of protein, 110 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. I eat one basically every day. It's kind of a snack to give me some protein. They're just great to have around, and you're not going to like feel that chalky, gross taste in your mouth when you're eating a Built Bar. And I know Evan agrees as well.
Oh, I absolutely do agree, and it's a shame they are retiring some flavors, but I understand. I feel like Built Bar is going to – season two of Built Bar, that's how I like to put it. Like, season two of Built Bar is going to have some familiar faces. We're going to say bye to some old cast members, but I feel like they're going to bring some new flavors to the table that we're just going to love just as much, if not more, than the flavors that are no longer with us. But
yes,
you and I have harped on this since the beginning with Built Bar. They have figured out the methodology of making cookie dough protein bars not taste like garbage. So, and like, that's a game changer for me as a former fat kid who loves his sweet still. To be able to eat guilt-free cookie dough and, you know, not absolutely hate myself afterwards, especially as a type 1 diabetic, just makes my life so much better every single time. And big shout outs to Built Bar, like, great sponsor, love them for sponsoring the show, but I love the product just as much, just after getting acquainted and getting to know it so much better.
Yes, and again, 50% off of almost everything on the site right now if you go check it out. And a bunch of stuff is being sold out, like banana nut bread, another great flavor, sold out on the site. Vanilla chocolate cream is sold out on the site. To go get these now while you can, use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. That's on your first order. Promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, one last break. Evan and I will be back right after this. All right, Evan, let's just do this to kind of set some resolutions. You and I work together, basically cover the Cavs side by side at Fear the Sword and on this podcast. So you and I are sort of doing everything collaboratively in a lot of ways. You're, when I need something read, go to you, etc. I was flipping. We have this big sheet that I made that we're a little behind on, but of stuff we're going to do. That's,
I noticed today when I,
we're going to go through all these different like team needs, like, and stuff. I think it is very descriptive.
When I posted on Fear the Sword today about Drummond's extension window or player option window, I'm like, we haven't posted in 2 weeks.
Well, there's not a whole lot going on. We're in a weird spot right now. We're kind of rehashing some stuff behind the scenes to kind of figure stuff out. We're going to get into more of a rhythm, and we're hopefully both of us are kind of a little less busy at work.
Yeah.
But when you think about what are some things you think we can just agree to try to do as we kind of look forward?
I mean, in terms of big team coverage, I feel like I don't really want to swim too far into Chris Fedor's lane. I don't want to swim too far into Kelsey Russo's. Kelsey is another person I feel like we should, just to jump back to the last segment, give a huge like shout out and say like, yeah, check out her work and like support her as often as you can, because like,
yeah, very overdue that there's some divert, like there's the beat is, I would just say
it's a boys club enough in terms of Cavs coverage.
And it's a white boys club.
Yeah, there you go. It's, without naming names, some members of the Cavs beat covering the NBA, they treat it more like a fraternity than they do actually covering the NBA team. And Kelsey is one of the most professional people that I've ever had the opportunity to like work with and interact with. But like, she's pretty young, and you know, I understand Jason Lloyd's methodology in hiring her and bringing her on is like, this is a young Cavs team. Kelsey can grow along with them and just kind of blossom. And she's put out some really good pieces about Austin Carr and John Michael, who, friend of the pod, John Michael, recently. And no, Kelsey's another person who definitely needs a lot of support as well, just because I know she's gonna do a lot of good things covering the Cavs. And if she has a solid base to start out at the beginning of her career covering this team, it makes life a hell of a lot easier for her once this team actually becomes good again. And like, those, like, just back to my point, like, Kelsey and Chris Fedor have the coverage of, like, the general day-to-day things. Like, I consider them more the beats really covering this team, like, closely. Like, you have Marla Ridenour as well at the Akron Beacon Journal. She still does good work. And then, like, you have everybody else, you know, just, like, the staples of Cavs coverage at this point. In terms of us, I feel like we should just start approaching things, like, on a lot of projects that we're working on. Like, I guess we'll tease one that kind of got shelved for a little bit, and Conrad, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
You're on Twitter on that.
Chris and I want to do a series on exploring like the history of the Cavs, like the naming and the colors, and like we're gonna start doing fan polls and like just more so like maybe engaging with the community a lot more. And as cliche as it may sound, when I was brought on as an editor with Fear the Sword during my quote unquote interview slash screening with Fansite or SB Nation. Sorry, gosh. I said, like, listen, Fear the Sword was a titan slash staple of the Cavs community. We're like, that was the site, other than Cavs the blog, at least for me, that I would go to in terms of Cavs coverage, like when I was a fledgling fan. Like, I want to bring it back to that point. And I think if we approach, like, stuff more out of the box and stuff, like, stuff that maybe it's just, like, interesting, or maybe we can, like, dig up some fun facts. And, like, I found some interesting things kind of doing research for this series that I was just touching on with, like, just the history of, like, the colors and the name and the jerseys of this team, and then, like, ideas and thought processes on how we could improve the uniforms and design of this pretty bad Nike kit that the Cavs have. There's some interesting stuff there. Like, I feel like that's not really getting a lot of coverage and attention. Like, I think that's a fun avenue. And, like, there's just a bunch of other fun stuff, too. And I feel like it's just awkward timing because this pandemic shut everything down in March. And we will likely not hear from anything prominent, at least from the Cavs, until October at the earliest. When the draft lottery is, obviously. But, like, when the draft happens in October, then free agency as well for the Cavs. Like, that's going to be, like, their window. So we have a solid 4 or 5 months until we get to that point, and we gotta figure out what we want to talk about here. But, like, there's some definitely some avenues here, and, like, we're also, Chris and I'm available on Twitter, and I relay everything that I hear to Chris. Like, we listen to what you guys say, and, like, if you want something covered, like, on the podcast or on Fear the Sword or anywhere, really, like, we're open to hear it. And, like, we just want to try and, like, make it fun to talk about the Cavs, just, like, besides, like, the general day-to-day stuff. At least that's where I feel.
Yeah, I think that's right. I also think for me, I'm going to try to, I think just in terms of the way and the tone of which I'm writing with, I think it's going to try to be a little different. It's going to try to be more prescriptive. That means, you know, frankly, just putting a little more effort into what I'm doing and trying to do a little more craft, because that's the kind of work that I would want to read if I was you, the reader. And, you know, sometimes I know that's not always going to, like, fly with people. People get annoyed in the comments over sometimes, like, dumb stuff, whatever. You know, I think one way I'm going to try to do this, especially with the players and the coaches, more so than the corporation that is the Cavs, it's empathy. I think approaching things with empathy and understanding that these guys are people too, and understanding that they come from different backgrounds, and that these people are going to go through things that we don't see and can't quite understand fully. Like, as much as, like, we can ask questions, and there is just going to be always a little bit of a gap there. So I think trying to be empathetic in a lot of ways and trying to be curious about stuff that we don't know, I think, is kind of the best way to go about it. Mm-hmm. And I will try to pick the funniest pictures possible for Fear the Sword news posts. I'm really proud of the one right now that's of, it's like JB Big, it's from the Disappointed when they issued the statement on the season ending, and it's JB Bickerstaff, like, looking up at the sky with his hand in the air. I'm just going to pick the funniest photos that I can.
That's a good way to go about it. Like, I'm looking at it now. That is a good picture. I think I just pick pictures. I picked
You picked a very good one, and whether it was intentional or not, for your drumming
post. Kind of looking like doing like the Manziel money thing. Like, I thought of that when I picked it. So you and I have a different approach, at least. I think I just go with the most recent picture. I'm like, all right, is that horizontal? All right, can I crop that properly? Cool. We're good to go. Maybe that's the Forbes approach to me, where I'm just like, I just got to pick a picture and move on here. But maybe I'll be more cognizant of that. But I guess my other goal is, and something like I was touching on in the last segment, I also want to be able to inspire the next generation of quote-unquote blog boys when it comes to this team. Like I said, like, you, Zavek, Carter, Justin, like, all those guys, like, you guys were, like, part of the Conrad as well. Like, we're all part of that nebulous of, like, people covering the Cavs I genuinely admired and looked up to and made me want to start covering the Cavs myself. And, like, who cares whatever avenue you started with? I started with a fantasy basketball website where I lied through my teeth saying I understood fantasy basketball. Then I'd have somebody explain it to me when I was covering the Hornets. And then by circumstances and things that just kind of worked out in my favor, like, I ended up covering a team I genuinely love, like, on a bunch of different platforms, and, like, I have a lot of fun doing it. But, like Chris said, we don't know how much longer we're going to be able to keep doing this. And I guess what I really want to do, at least with whatever time I have left, and I'm not saying, like, I'm dying or something, for people, like, thinking, like, I'm getting that deep right now, so that when the time comes for, like, Chris and I to, like, really close this chapter of our lives and just say, like, yeah, we covered the Cavs when we were in our early to mid to late 20s, and when we walk away from it, we're leaving it in good hands, so that the covers that we provided and the people before us provided, that quality can keep rolling and rolling and rolling. And again, I'm more than happy to hear like what you guys want to hear covered and talked about. Like I love doing research, and I love like just kind of learning the history of and origins of different pieces of and players of this team. So always open to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. My email is in my Twitter bio.
He doesn't check it, but he checks. He checks his email. Doesn't check his Twitter anymore. And I don't know if you guys are listening. You should be as often as you should. That sounds a little threatening, but Chris Check isn't on Twitter anymore. He may not be back until 2021. So the day, yeah, New Year's Day, 2021, you're getting barraged with Joker memes just for old time's sake.
I think that's a good place to end it. Well, thanks everyone for listening. This is a little more of a self-indulgent episode, but I felt like it was fruitful. Yes. Thanks again to Rock Auto and Built Bar for sponsoring the show. We'll be back in your feeds on Friday talking all about Andre Drummond and what his recent comments and just looming decisions sort of mean in the various outcomes there. So we'll be back with them. But thanks again for listening. Go back and check out some of our past episodes if you haven't already, including our great interview with a friend of the program, John Michael, and yesterday's show, which dove into the Elite Eight teams. But for myself, for Evans, it's been Locked on Cavs. Talk to you soon.